turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, and I want to begin reading at verse 14. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And I want to preach this morning for a few moments on the subject of we have such a high priest. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the moving and operation of your Holy Spirit today. Lord, I ask for the anointing of your Spirit again to preach your word, Lord, in a way that it will bring encouragement, that it will uplift your people, that, Lord, it will cause them to soar to greater heights in you, Lord Jesus. Because that's what happens when it's preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray today that you'll move upon us and that our lives will be forevermore changed for being in this service. I pray you'll help me to bring glory and honor to your name, Lord Jesus, and to minister your word to your people. In Jesus' holy name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This week, we've seen just how quickly the face of the entire globe can be changed in seconds' time. Biblical history records how God, in His sovereign will, in His perfect timing, sets kingdoms up and puts kingdoms down. And when we look at the carnage and the devastation that hit Japan due to the highest recorded earthquake since they've been recording earthquakes on the seismograph, hit 8.9. As I understand it, that's the highest reading they've ever recorded from an earthquake. And you look at all of that carnage and devastation in that nation, but yet it is nothing compared to what is about to come upon this planet. I want you to think of that for just a moment. When you look in the next few days and weeks and you see all of the destruction that is permeating the nation of Japan right now, it's nothing compared to the dark days that are coming upon planet Earth. We're living in the last of the last days of the history of Earth as we know it. But we're looking for a new Jerusalem to come. Praise God. And God, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, is going to renovate this entire planet and purify it by fire and restore it to the pristine state it was in when Adam and Eve first inhabited this planet. But in a moment's time, the history of the world, in seconds' time, the history of the world can be changed by certain actions. Ronald Reagan is one of my favorite characters from American history. He and Harry Truman both. Because I like people that are not afraid to stand up for what they believe and not back down in the face of what everybody's telling them. I saw on the History Channel this last week the famed meetings that took place between President Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev, the premier of the Soviet Union. The first one took place in Geneva and left with both men angry at one another. The second was of such historic proportions, I don't believe it can be overstated. Because when the two leaders came to meet in Reykjavik, Iceland, scientists were then stating that on the what they call the nuclear war clock, that we were 3 minutes to midnight, meaning we were very close to both the superpowers, using their nuclear arsenals to destroy the world. Few people know how close this world came to nuclear destruction during that time. But much of the credit for the dismantling of the Soviet Union and the fall of communism, I believe, can be attributed to the stand Ronald Reagan took in Reykjavik, Iceland. Gorbachev came to that meeting unbeknownst to Reagan, very fearful of American technology that was being developed at that time. It was called the Star Wars technology, SDI. It was a strategic defense initiative that would put a satellite into space. And then, once the satellite was placed in space, it would detect a nuclear launch from the Soviet Union, and then in outer space shoot down the nuclear missiles being launched in America from the Soviet Union before they could come anywhere near their target. And it was very close to nearing completion. And the Soviet Union was fully aware of this. And Gorbachev bluffed Reagan for much of the meeting, acting like he really didn't have to deal with President Reagan. But near the end of the conference, Gorbachev came the day before that it was to end and put on the table to Ronald Reagan an unheralded diplomatic offer. He said the Soviet Union will dismantle its entire nuclear arsenal if you will agree to dismantle yours. And it stunned Reagan. He was not prepared for that. He went to his advisors, and they all told him, we must accept this agreement if they're willing to do it. But Reagan knew the history of the Soviet Union. He knew that they had never kept a treaty in their entire history. And he said, I don't believe I can accept it. And then they met the morning of the last days of the meeting with this diplomatic deal of unprecedented proportions on the table. And Reagan was going to turn it down no matter what, but then Gorbachev angered him, because he pulled the carpet out from under President Reagan, so to speak, pulled the carpet out from under President Reagan. He told him, now this agreement is on the table, Mr. President, but there is one more stipulation we must put on it. He was baiting President Reagan, trying to get him to make a mistake. He said, we will only agree to the total disarmament if you will guarantee you will cease development of SDI, the Strategic Defense Initiative. And Reagan broke the meeting and went with his advisors, and to a man, they all told him, yes, Mr. President, let's do it. It'll bring world peace. It'll bring great honor to your name for centuries, as historians write about how you, through your agreement to this, brought peace to the world. Reagan went off in a room to himself, and President Reagan was not a perfect man. I'm not trying to portray that at all, but he did believe in God. He did believe in God. He did believe in Jesus Christ. And he went off into a room and prayed. And I know it was the Lord that spoke to his heart, because the Bible says the heart of the king's hand is in the Lord. And he knew he couldn't accept the deal that was on the table. He walked back and he said, Mr. Gorbachev, if you will not deal with us without us ceasing SDI, our meeting is over. Gorbachev became angered. And he said, what? In essence, you are a fool for allowing this great diplomatic agreement. We will make history, Mr. President. He said, I can't agree to it as you're wanting me to. And Mr. Gorbachev tried to become threatening with President Reagan. He said, I will leave this meeting immediately if you're telling me you're refusing to agree to this offer we have on the table. This is one of the things I loved about Reagan. Reagan calmly got up from the table and went and got Gorbachev his hat and coat. Yeah, and handed it to him. But that situation that changed this world to this very moment in time, the actions of a good man can be carried on for generations. Consequently, the actions of a bad one can also be carried on for generations. America, after that point in time, experienced an unprecedented time of economic, military growth, and of course, we know the Soviet Union fell. Communism failed before the eyes of the world. We saw it when the wall was torn down in Berlin that had stood for so long, separating people of freedom from people from communist rule. It all happened because of Reagan's stand. But that stand would never have occurred had a man by the name of Jerry McKenzie, who most of you probably don't even know, had done what he did. It was about 8 or 9 months before the meeting in Reykjavik would occur when a man by the name of John David Hinckley attempted to shoot and kill President Ronald Reagan. He severely wounded the White House press secretary, Jim Brady. But if you watch the film of that shooting, you'll see a man in a tan suit jump in front of the president as Hinckley is ready to fire and spread his arms. And he took 2 bullets for President Ronald Reagan. He interceded for President Ronald Reagan. You like that, Elijah? You enjoying this story? He interceded for President Ronald Reagan and took upon him the pain because he wanted Reagan to be able to live. He saw how important a man Reagan was. He was in the Secret Service. It was his job. But nonetheless, it would later come out how much love and respect he had for our president. And that historic meeting in Reykjavik would have never taken place had Jerry McKenzie not jumped in front of John Hinckley's gun. Reagan would have surely been killed. How precious it is, the Bible says, that greater love no man hath than he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ, on Calvary's hill, he took our nails. He took our crown of thorns. He took our stripes on his back. He interceded for us, not just in a one-time act to preserve our lives temporarily, as precious as that was, but he changed all who will put their faith and trust in him. He can change their lives for all of eternity in a second's time, if they'll trust him, because he is our intercessor before God. He is not an intercessor between us and God. He is the only intercessor between us and God. And because he took the nails that day that should have belonged to us on Calvary's cross, those of us that have placed their faith and trust exclusively in what he's done there, we have eternal life because of him. Our lives were changed for all of eternity because of what he did for us. Glory to God. When you look at the Old Testament, God has always had a system of priestly intervention. And a priest is somebody, the word literally means a mediator. Someone who stands between you and someone else. Someone who stands between you and danger. And God has always had that system. In the Old Testament, of course, it was the offering of the animals. And I know many of you could probably recite the process, but I feel the need to take you back there for just a moment. In God's Old Testament sacrificial system, a lamb had to be offered without spot or blemish by the offerer who wanted his sin cleansed. And once the offerer had found a lamb that was perfect in every way, no bruises on it of any kind, just a pure, beautiful, white fleece, he would then pick that little lamb up and take it to the priest in the tabernacle. And there was only one way, one door into that tabernacle. This is what Jesus was referring to when he said, I am the door, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And the offerer with a rope around that little lamb's neck would walk in through that one door of the tabernacle, and he would approach the priest at a brazen laver. And that priest would then inspect the Lamb. I'm going to tell you something that just so blesses my soul. The priest inspected the Lamb. Here's something we need to know. When we come to God for forgiveness of sin, He never inspects the offerer. He only inspects the offering. I want that to sink in. I got to make it more clear than that today. When that offer of that lamb in the Old Testament, the priest would inspect the lamb to make sure the lamb was perfect. Because by the act of bringing forth that lamb, that offerer was repentant before a holy God. Hence, when you and I come before a holy God to get our sin cleansed, that's why our faith must be in Jesus Christ. Because His blood is the only spotless, unblemished blood that has ever been offered. And when we come in repentance to a holy God, He still does not look at the offerer. He looks at the offering, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then in the Old Testament, as the priest would inspect that lamb and find that it was perfect, he would then do something that would be contrary to our way of thinking. He would hand the offerer a knife. And the offerer would have to lean over and pull back the neck of that little lamb and take that knife over that brazen basin and plunge the knife and rip into the neck of that little innocent lamb. It looks very cruel, and it is. God wanted the offerer to know sin comes with a mighty high price to pay for its redemption. How powerful is sin and how ugly is it? It took the Son of God Himself to hang on Calvary's cross and shed His precious blood so that our sin could not only be cleansed but taken away. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I never get tired of saying what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus coming. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. And that little lamb would not even make a cry as that sharp knife ripped through its neck. Because that's the nature of little lambs. They don't cry out when they're in pain. That's why the prophet Isaiah, when recording the coming Messiah, he said he opened not his mouth. He was the Lamb of God. And then as the blood flowed out of that little lamb, its very life, the Bible says there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. It would be caught in that basin, and the lamb would be dyed, and no parts of it would be wasted. The priest could then take the meat of the lamb and cook it and eat it. But the blood he would take and sprinkle in the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. For the individual sinner, he would sprinkle it on the altar. Thousands of years this process was repeated until Jesus Christ came. And He is the high priest now, seated at the right hand of God in that temple. For thousands of years, as this process of killing lambs went on, sin was not taken away, it was only covered. You need to know that. That process of the Old Testament did not take sin away, it only covered it. It was a stopgap measure, if you will, until the Son of God Himself, the Lamb of God, the great high priest, would come and make the ultimate sacrifice on behalf of all of humanity. But for thousands of years, that process was repeated. And in the temple, there was a chair. I think this is so beautiful. It was called the Messiah's chair. And this was actually in the temple, the Solomonic temples, when this practice began, not in the Old Testament tabernacle. In the Solomonic temple, they placed a chair. It was called the Messiah's chair. Now that's odd, because theoretically, when the high priest's work was done, when all sin was atoned for, he could go to that chair and sit down. But being as how sin under the Old Testament system was only covered and not taken away. I want you to listen to me for just a moment. This is important. Please give me your attention. Under the Old Testament system, sin was only being covered. The priest could never use that chair because the sacrifices had to be continually offered 24/7, 365. But the Bible says about this high priest, Jesus Christ, in the book of Hebrews, he sat down at the right hand of God. That meant all sin was atoned for. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. That's why God will not honor any other religious system or religious individual. He gave His only Son once and for all. And He sat down at the right hand of God. I've taken the time to tell you all of this. So hopefully it will enlighten all of our understanding to know that this high priest sat down and completed the removal of sin in totality for all who will believe in Him, the great high priest, Jesus Christ. Buddha cannot forgive sin. Muhammad cannot forgive sin. A 12-step program won't give you victory over sin. But if you'll come to Jesus Christ, He'll change your life. Hallelujah. Only He can do it. Only He can do it. And man sometimes so desperately wants to change himself, and we are totally and incompletely incapable of doing it. If there's an area of your life you don't like, if you want complete frustration and failure, try to change it through human power. Try to change it by going to a psychologist and getting some pills. My Lord, those commercials kill me on all these psychological pills. Now they've got one now, I forget the name of it. It's like if your depression pills aren't working, come take more of this one now. It'll work with the depression pill. Think of the insanity of that. You're depressed because you're in sin. And there is the judgment of Almighty God hanging over your head eternally. That's enough to depress anybody. And the people may not be able to identify to such, but that is the root cause of all depression. But when you find Jesus, when you find you've got a high priest that loves you, that took the nails for you, that gave His life for you, that is seated at the right hand of God, and here's the part that blesses me so, it says He's ever interceding for us. Hallelujah! His work on the cross as far as procuring the cleansing of sin is totally and completely finished. But His work as our great high priest continues on as He still takes us before God. Hallelujah. We are His. We are purchased with a price, the Bible says. We belong to Jesus Christ, and we have such a high priest who is unlike any other priest or religious figure who's ever lived, because He was not a religious figure. He is the Son of God. He is the King of Kings, and He is victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Praise God. You've got a high priest today if your faith is in Jesus Christ exclusively. But God will not honor faith placed in anything else or anything that's mixed with Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that He is ever living to make intercession for us. What a statement that is, Mike. What a statement that is. Do you realize what happens when you as one of His children cry out to Him? Let me take you to the Lord's Prayer for just a moment. When Jesus was teaching the disciples a system of prayer, it begins, Our Father. Our Father. I don't care what your request is. You're God's child. And when you call out to Him and you ask Him, Lord, will You help me in this area? Will You help me in that area? Do you know spiritually what goes on in the portals of glory? When the Bible says He's ever interceding for us, our great high priest, that prayer, Our Father, Jesus, as you are in Him spiritually, in Christ, Jesus spiritually takes you and that request before the throne of Almighty God. Without exception. Without exception. You're His child. Yes, it's shouting time, ain't it, Monique? Praise God. That's the high priest we have. He is. We have such a high priest like this. His name is Jesus Christ. And you call on Him today. The Bible says to come boldly, the scripture we read, before the throne of grace. Do you know what that means? That means you don't come with confidence in how good or how bad a boy or girl you've been. You come with confidence in the offering. The offering. Jesus Christ, who offered up Himself. God will hear Him. Hallelujah. That's why do you think we pray? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. When we utter that phrase, the gates of heaven swing wide open and we are spiritually transported before the throne of Almighty God. Hallelujah! We have such a high priest. Glory to God. That's why we can pray in confidence. That's what that word boldness means. It means pray in confidence. You're going to be heard. Do you know why sometimes we can't pray in confidence? Our focus is not on the offering. The focus is on us. My Lord, I wouldn't answer one of my prayers if I were God. I'm talking about if I offered it up to my own volition. Because, man, there's a lot wrong with me yet. Now, again, as always, bear with me. I know you guys probably don't have this problem, but it'll help me out to put it this way, okay? I know there's a lot wrong with me. And if I get to looking at that, I've got no confidence to pray. I've got no confidence to believe God's going to do anything for me. Because I'm looking at me. But He's a God of grace. We have such a high priest. He's a God of grace. And we're in Jesus. He died for you and I. He took our nails. He stood up before the powers and principalities of hell itself and before the angels in heaven as they looked on in awe at Him hanging on that cross. Hallelujah. And when He said, "It is finished," He was referring specifically to the salvation plan and the cleansing of sin. He was not referring to His continuing work as our great high priest. That will go on throughout all of eternity. We'll be in heaven praising our great high priest for the work He did for us on the cross that put us in heaven. Oh, glory! Hallelujah. He takes you before the throne of God. That's why when you're asking God for something, you better not be looking at your own life. You better be looking at the offering. Just as that priest in the Old Testament looked at the offering to make sure it was perfect. He never looked at the offerer. Get this. Grab hold of it. This is why the scripture we read this morning said we must hold fast to our profession. That word, the way it's worded in the Greek, it's a word picture there. It's a beautiful word picture. It's the picture of a dying man, in essence, hanging on to the only rope that's holding him from dropping off a cliff. That's the idea of how tightly we're to hold to our profession. What is our profession? We do not declare our righteousness. We do not declare our holiness. But we declare the righteousness and holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, yes, give Him a hand of praise. Hallelujah! Glory to God! My Lord, excuse me for shouting, but it's something to shout about. It's better than the NFL. It's better than the NBA. Hallelujah. My Lord. So know that when you go to Him, you have such a high priest that's going to make sure your request gets before the throne of Almighty God if your faith is in Him. And you know, with you looking at the offering, that should give us a lot of confidence to go before God, to know that God is not looking at us. Because were He looking at us, not one of our prayers would get answered. Now none of us, come on. Missing great chances to say amen, Pastor here. Not one of us would get a prayer answered or prayer through. But when we say in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah! He turns to the Father and says, "I present their request to you." And watch this. Oh, this is so beautiful. Your request has just become His request to God the Father. Wow, glory to God. Glory to God. I kind of think that'll get answered. You know why most of our prayers don't get answered? This is what James, the book of James, was referring to. And it says, when you pray amiss. You know how you're praying amiss? You're not looking at the offering. You're looking at the offerer. And the offerer ain't going to get no prayer through. But the offering, our great high priest, Jesus Christ. God has inspected him and inspected his work on the cross and has found him without spot or blemish. And he proved it when he raised him from the dead. If Jesus Christ had had one flaw in his life, God could not have raised him from the dead. But God raised him from the dead, Linda. And he ever liveth to make intercession for us, his children. We have such a high priest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't that give you confidence toward God? I pray this is a life-changing message for you, that from now on when you pray, you'll know it's Jesus. If I pray in Jesus' name. Why do you think he told us to do that? Because he knows any other name ain't going to get that request before God. He wants to see it answered. Jesus loves you. He wants to see your prayer answered. Really, more than you want to see it answered. He wants to see it answered. Now, granted, he may not always answer it the way we think it ought to be, but there are no unanswered prayers. You need to know that. There are no unanswered prayers. When you pray in Jesus' name, that is an eternal prayer that's stored in the portals of glory forever. My Lord, how powerful prayer is. What a privilege we have. And that's what the Bible means when it says, come boldly. It means don't come, well, at work this week, I banged my thumb on a hammer and let a cuss word fly. God ain't going to do nothing for me. Or yelled at my wife this week. God ain't going to do nothing for me. Or screamed at my kids a little bit too loud. Now, I know these things never happen, do they, Austin? Lost my temper at Austin for taking the ball bat and busting out some lights. No, he didn't do that. I'm just kidding. God ain't going to hear me. I'm in trouble now and I need help, but he ain't going to hear me. He's a God of grace. Grace. That means we never deserve it. And if you ever start to think you deserve it, you're not going to get it. Because it all comes by grace. That's what Romans tells us. If we can earn it, it's reckoned under law. It's under law. We could glory in it and say, whoo, look what I earned from God. Everything he gives us is by grace. We deserve none of it. Approach him knowing he is your great high priest. And he has taken your prayer request himself before the throne of Almighty God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus takes you by the hand and presents you and your prayer request before the throne of this universe. My Lord, that should revolutionize all of our prayer lives to have this knowledge. To know and understand what's going on when we say, in Jesus' name, our high priest ever liveth to maketh intercession for us. The work of salvation, yeah, that was completed at Calvary. Absolutely, it is finished. But his work as our high priest will go on throughout all of eternity. We have such a high priest. Don't that bless your soul? Don't that give you confidence now? When you're going before him, that wow, he's looking at Jesus. He's inspecting the offering. He's not inspecting me. That's what it means to be covered by the blood, to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All is made new. Old things are passed away. As long as we're in Christ. He does not see one shred of unrighteousness or unholiness in us. My Lord, because we have such a high priest. As I start to close, we're going to need to know this information that I've preached today as we live out these last days here on planet Earth. Because it's coming to an end. Mark my words, what happened in Japan is Jesus referred to things like this as the beginning of sorrows prior to the tribulation period. He said, when you see earthquakes in divers places, these are the beginning of sorrows. We're going to need to know. we have such a high priest who's ever interceding for the Father for us. And that when we pray, he's taken our requests before the throne. I'll guarantee it. I know it. There's believers sitting this morning, maybe in very difficult circumstances over in Japan. Our brothers and sisters in the Lord, but they're crying out to him. And he's taking their requests before God, and God is moving right now. Oh, you'll hear testimony after testimony. You say, how do you know that? I know he's a God of great grace and mercy, and I know he loves his children. You're going to hear testimony after testimony coming out of Japan of miraculous things God did. Now, you have to dig for it a little bit because CNN, ABC, and CBS, and Fox News Network aren't going to broadcast any of it. Now, I'm here to tell you, you know, those of you that like Glenn Beck and all that, know you're listening to a Mormon, and you might as well be listening to somebody who believes in Islam. Being politically correct is not the same as being spiritually correct. That's good preaching. This world's coming to a close. We need to have a sure foundation that when the earthquakes of life hit us, and they're going to, that things around us may shake, but our foundation is built on a solid rock, Christ Jesus, who never shakes. Praise God. He is our great high priest. He is our great high priest. We have such a high priest. You know, we preach so much about the cross, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I love to say the words that he said from that cross when he bought your and my redemption. It's finished. But my Lord, to think of all the love that he poured out of himself on that cross at Calvary, that his outpouring of love as our great high priest continues to this very hour, this very second in time. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's by his grace I can call upon God my Father. And without fail, because of grace, not that we deserve it. Don't look at yourself. Look at him. When you say in Jesus' name, he immediately, spiritually speaking, puts his arm around us and walks in before the throne of Almighty God and looks at his Father. And he's got his arm around us. We're in him. God doesn't even see us. He only sees him. And if you've been praying for a raise on your job, he says, Father, I need a raise. My Lord, this don't build faith in you to pray. I don't know what will. Do you think the Lord is going to tell him no? The answer is always yes. Now, it may come in a different way, in a different time. He's going to work out his plan in your life, but it'll come. It'll come. It will come. It will happen. Prayer is so powerful, we can pray things into existence that ought not even to be. That's out of the perfect will of God. I'm serious. We don't know how powerful it is and what a position we have in Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest. Whatever you have need of today, as we close, know this. We have such a high priest who ever liveth to maketh intercession for us. He's still stepping between us and God. Still. But in a different fashion now than what he did on the cross. On the cross, he was signing our adoption papers that we could become the sons and daughters of God. But once we're in that state, his continuing work as our great high priest, he keeps on ministering on our behalf to God. And that's something to think about. I'm having to contain myself this morning. I really am. I could run around this church thinking such a thought. And take this jacket off and just go flying, but it'd be an ugly sight because now when I stop running, I've noticed something as I've gotten older. Even though I've lost some weight, my body don't stop when I stop. Things still kind of... It's like that guy that got the cannonball shot in his stomach. You ever seen that picture? But he's your great high priest. Take your troubles to him with confidence. With boldness, approach that throne of grace, knowing You're not being looked at. The offerer is not being looked at. It's the offering who once and for all paid the price and opened the portals of glory to the throne of God for you and I. Give him a hand of praise today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want to read a quote to you as we close and go to the altar call. Because I'm going to tell you why there's so few miracles and so few prayers being answered in the church world today. People are offering up to God their plan, their way, and their own individual efforts. A man by the name of William Booth, who founded the Salvation Army, which has now been reduced to standing outside of Walmart and trying to collect coins. I mean, they may do some good works to help people, but as far as preaching the gospel, they've left that years ago. William Booth said, "The chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, heaven without a hell." In other words, only preaching half of the gospel. That's the world in which we live, and that kind of gospel will provide you with no firm foundation on which to base your life, because that's all the works and looking to the offering, or the offerer, excuse me, not the offering. We who have our faith in the cross of Christ look exclusively at the offering. That gives us confidence then to go before God. Praise his holy name. We have such a high priest. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, human words, Lord, only your word can begin to explain the glory of who you are and what you're doing for us, your children, at this very second in time, acting as our great high priest before God. Heavenly Father, today, there are some of your children who need some things from you, and they have not had the confidence nor the boldness to come before your throne and ask you because they've been looking at their life. And Lord, our lives, if we look at them, none of us could ever be worthy of receiving anything from you. But Lord, I pray today that through the instruction of the Holy Spirit, you'll teach us an indelible lesson and inscribe it upon our spirits, what we've heard today. You look at the offering, not the offerer, praise God. And if our faith is in the offering, our great high priest, Jesus Christ, our prayers, we can approach the throne of God with a sureness, with a boldness that our prayers are going to be answered. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise you today. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I feel the Holy Spirit prodding me. Are you right with God today? He's wanting to know. Do you feel you're right with God today? Let me tell you, coming to church don't make you right with God. It's only where your faith is placed is what makes you right before a holy God. Doing good things, as wonderful as they may be, do not provide correctness before a holy God, because for every right thing we humans do, and this is all of us, I'm not speaking to anyone in specific, this is all of humanity. For every good thing that any human does in the flesh, they're still falling so short of God's glory in other numerous areas of their life. That's why it takes Jesus, the great high priest. And I wonder today, the Holy Spirit wants to probe your life. Is your faith in Christ and what he did for you at the cross, for your standing with God, for your right standing with God, to be in relationship with the holy God, is your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross? That's the only way you can be made right before God. I charge you, examine your life today. Let the Holy Spirit of God examine your life today. You know in your heart, if your faith, I'm not saying your performance, your faith. Only you know in your heart if your faith is where it needs to be. And I urge you, the Holy Spirit is urging you right now, make a decision to to trust in Jesus exclusively and what he did for you at the cross. He'll change your life. He alone has the power to change it. He'll calm that angry temper. He'll refocus your life on things that are really important. Jesus will do these things. He will do these things for you if you'll trust him. And that's the only way it can be done. None of us are good enough to stand before him on our own merit. That's the very reason he went to the cross. And to those who are and have believed exclusively in what he did at the cross, in a moment when I ask you to stand, I want you to take your request, however big or small, and everybody's got one. I know, we all do. That maybe you've been having a difficult time believing he's going to answer for you. This morning, the message of the Holy Spirit to you is to come boldly before the throne of grace and know what's going on when you ask in Jesus' name with your faith in him. What's going on now, I think you know, in the portals of glory, and it should have increased all of our faith. I know it has mine. God's looking at the offering, not the offerer. He's receiving the request through the offering. Through the offering, praise God, who is perfect, who is his son. That request will get answered. It'll get answered. Oh, glory to God, I feel such faith fill in this house today. Would you stand? And I want you right now, use your own words, and I'm just going to pray generally for the congregation. But you go boldly before the throne of grace right now with your request, whatever it is. You go boldly before the throne of grace right now with your request, whatever it is, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And I want to ask you, are you right with God today? If you couldn't say, my faith is in Jesus Christ and what he did for me at the cross, and you want to make that decision today, and you just want somebody to pray with you, with heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, would you slip up a hand right now and say, Pastor, that's me. I promise I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. You may be feeling some embarrassment now. That's shame over your sin. We all feel that when we come to Jesus, but we will not embarrass you. Is there anybody here today who would say, I'm not right with God, but I want to be today. I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus and what he did for me at the cross. Are there any at all? Any at all? He loves you. He's the only way to be made right before God. Then as you stand there with your heads bowed and eyes closed, saints of God, go boldly to the throne of grace today. Hallelujah. Take your request boldly to the throne of grace right now as I pray for you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe you've given us from your word today a beautiful picture of what's going on right now when we pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, pour faith all over this sanctuary. I've already sensed you've done it, Lord. And let us see our position in you when we pray in Jesus' name. Lord God, I feel right now that prayers that have been prayed for years are going to be answered because people are finally asking in boldness and faith, believing, knowing that you are going before the throne of God for your children right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who at this moment in time, as your children are crying out to you in boldness, knowing God's going to answer my prayer because of Jesus, my great high priest, who is ever living to make intercession for me. Oh, hallelujah. And you don't have to pray no long drawn out prayer. Sometimes the greatest prayers we pray is, God, help me in this situation. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Hallelujah. Hold fast to the profession of your faith. Praise God. Hang on to Jesus Christ like a dying man hangs on to a rope dangling off a cliff. That's how desperately we need to cling to Christ and what he did for us at the cross. And it'll bring so much good in our life. It'll bring answers to prayer. It'll bring change in our life. Lord, glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Some of you, you've prayed, and the devil's already on your back. That's why I'm telling you this. He's saying, okay, you've prayed now. The skies didn't part. The earth didn't shake. This is by faith, not feeling. Okay? This is by faith. You heard the word of God today. You offered up your prayer in faith, going boldly before the throne of God. You're going to get an answer. Don't listen. Don't let the enemy make you doubt. Stand on the word of Almighty God. He just took you before the throne of Almighty God in your request, whatever it was. And you're going to get an answer. Give the Lord a hand of praise today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, man, it's been so good to be in God's house with you today. Even though we all lost an hour of sleep tonight, last night, it was still real good, wasn't it? Praise God. Praise God. Andy, would you come dismiss us in prayer this morning? And as Andy's coming, I'll remind you, please be with us on Wednesday night if you can. We love you in the Lord. Keep going boldly before the throne of grace because we have such a high priest. Amen. God bless you. Andy.